That was fantastic. Oh, that was gold. The Smucker Brothers never did make jam. You think of the Smith Brothers who made Concord.
Why wasn't the microphone on just then? Oh. This is like that, Well, anyway. The greatest moments, as you know, always happen when the mic is up. We were just, is that the A&E for the day?
It is, yes.
Tim Riley and I were just, we were looking through the A&E and it said, where is that?
Is it, Chinook?
Yeah. Winds. So Chinook Winds, which, that's where we saw Rickles, right?
That is.
It's where the Smothers Brothers, Dick and Tommy Smothers are coming, the Smothers Brothers. And Tim and I are like, oh, the Smothers Brothers, we got to get them on the show. We got to talk to Susan Reynolds about the Smothers Brothers.
We'll have to get an extra stool if they come in here.
Yes.
No, well, when is that happening?
The 12th and the 13th.
Oh, of this month? Oh, yeah, we'll need another stool. Are we going to get the Smothers Brothers on? And Sarah looks over, and sometimes, now this is, I don't mean to make fun, but sometimes you can just tell from the tone of voice what's going on behind, like the wheels that are turning in the head. And Sarah looks over, she goes, the Smothers Brothers? And it was just, and immediately Tim and I just looked at each other and we're like, she doesn't know. And we said, you don't know who the Smothers Brothers are, do you? And she said, do they make jam? Which is fantastic, because that is, of course, Smuckers. So that's great. No, the Smothers Brothers, they're a comedy act from the 60s, most notable for the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, which was sort of, it was one of the first sort of political comedic shows on television. And they were, in fact, there was a prominent broadcasting company. I won't tell you the full name, but the initials of the company are CBS, that got into a big, that heavily censored their program because they made a lot of anti-Vietnam War statements. They talked a lot about the administration, a lot about Nixon, blah, blah, blah. And CBS was not happy with that. And they get fired eventually. Isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
Then they got blown out.
Well, the show was canceled.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't want to come on a CBS radio show.
Oh, that's true. Would you like to go? That's really a good point, too. Oh, the irony. But there's a great documentary called Smothered, which is all about the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour and their ongoing battle to try to keep political material on their show, and how CBS just did clamp down and eventually canceled them.
Yeah. So anyway, they were pioneers.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, I'm a big Lisa Goddard fan, and I love the fact that you got her to say pork so many times. I'm just saying. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, the official president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show, Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the top two leaders of the new Democratic-controlled U.S. Congress are urging the president not to increase U.S. troops in Iraq. That comes from Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. They say rather than deploying additional troops in Iraq, we believe the way forward is to begin the phased redeployment of our forces in the next 4 to 6 months. So we'll see if he gets any money out of the Democratic Congress to keep on doing this stuff. In the meantime, Nancy Pelosi continues to reinvent herself. Did you know she's a hometown girl from Baltimore, Maryland?
Yeah, no, this is the because
it's time to find childhood friends and neighbors.
This is like Hillary Clinton's thing.
We want everyone to know we're picking on the Democrats now.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Oh, no, it's their turn.
No, that's whoever's on top. Yeah, that is. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, that whoever's on top gets the hatchet. That's just kind of how things operate. This is like when Hillary Clinton made that statement about, I'm not like Tammy Wynette, baking cookies and standing by my man. And the next thing you know, she really was honestly baking cookies somewhere and being photographed as like a den mother at some place. So
there's nothing wrong with fresh-baked cookies.
No, they're not at all.
I couldn't see what was wrong with that in the first place.
Whatever happened to that chick that used to bring us cookies? Do you remember that girl? Holly, her name was?
Oh, I don't know.
She was all,
yeah, I remember
she was all
her.
Hot and scary looking.
Well, we moved so many times, I think we confused everyone.
Probably has no idea who we are. There's nothing wrong with cookies. So, but Nancy Pelosi started off as being a little scary, and I think they realized that nobody likes the scary lady. And so now, yeah, you're going to see a whole lot of photos of her, like, literally, that when she was on stage yesterday, and the newspapers played along like idiots, and they all did exactly what the Democrats wanted them to do, which is had a lot of photographs of Nancy Pelosi surrounded by children. And I think it was supposed to look charming, but it just looked unnerving.
There weren't enough balloons.
It really... Not enough balloons. There weren't enough slogans.
No butterflies. Somebody should have let some doves loose.
There needed to be a rainbow in the background and a series of inspirational slogans printed on a cheap curtain hanging behind her. It just looked weird. There's some politician on stage surrounded by children. It's like, it really was like some weird outtake from the Temple of Doom or something.
So let's find this childhood friend. We managed to find one. This lady is 66, and she's from the Little Italy section.
Oh, God.
The site of Nancy's hometown, Baltimore, Maryland. And she says that Nancy is the pride of Baltimore, not San Francisco, Baltimore, and its Italian community.
Happy family. She was a classy young lady. She went to this nice school.
What kind of women do they have in Baltimore?
It says
Delaney, I'm looking in your direction.
It says that she's a woman.
Happy family. She was a classy young lady. She went to this nice school.
Well, I'm not going to rule anything out until I see photographic evidence, but...
Now we have this fellow, so who knows what this is going to turn out to be, who grew up in the same fine Italian-American neighborhood as Nancy Pelosi, a native of Baltimore, not San Francisco.
To have an Italian woman most powerful woman...
All right. I think we've made a mistake in the ordering of the... I think I have made a mistake. That's me. I realize now what I did. I played the second cut first and the first cut second. That's me. That's all me.
But it was funny.
It was funny, and so we forgive everything. Well, let's just move forward with this charade.
It made it seem like we were back in San Francisco again for a moment.
With your San Francisco values. So here's a man from Baltimore.
To have an Italian woman as the most powerful woman on this earth, just
on.
About. We are elated.
All right, you whatever. So anyway, so now they are now I don't know anything about Nancy Pelosi.
We'll soon find out.
I was just going to say, but I suspect that I'm going to know more than I ever wanted
she
to know.
By the boots, by her own bootstraps.
You know why?
Without help from anyone.
You know. You know exactly why this is, too. Because, how old is Nancy Pelosi?
Horatia Alger story.
Because she's what? She's like 62?
She's 66.
66?
She's been around forever.
She wrote the very first song. No, but seriously, folks.
Barry Manilow will be in town next Monday. And he is 63, I found out.
I mean, 63 if he's a day. I mean, he may be older than that, even. Let me make a note, speaking of San Francisco values, to talk about Barry Manilow here in a minute.
And he is wearing a rubber mask of himself from 1973.
He's wearing a Halloween mask.
I'm just spray-painted it and put it back on. It wears the... No, that's not his real face. No, that's
that is his face of 1973.
He's wearing an old model.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole thing with Barry Manilow though that I'll talk about later on. But you're right.
He has a beagle named Bagel.
I don't even need to be high. This show is already hilarious to me.
Well, that's what I know about Barry. That's the only personal.
I know all kinds of things about Barry Manilow. As Scotty is noting, it would have been nice to interview. See, we're not doing the show though. That concert is not being promoted by CBS Radio.
That was their mistake.
That is. They really
let that one go.
They snoozed. They snoozed and they lost. They are not going to be I might as well just say it now. Because here's the thing.
Because we packed them in for. Tim Conway and Harvey
and for Don Rickles, and really the Barry Manilow would have been the trifecta, mm-hmm. would have been the hat trick, because as the tale has been told many times, that I have seen Barry Manilow in concert a whole bunch, and I'm a Barry Manilow fan. I don't celebrate his entire catalog, but I celebrate large chunks of his catalog. I don't even know what that means, but I am a fan of Barry Manilow. And ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba, and not to be that guy who's always going on about stuff like that, but I saw Barry Manilow even when he had fallen out of favor, when the only other people in the audience were a bunch of 60-something blue-haired housefraus, I was there. But now, somehow, he is leaving stage 3 and entering stage 4 of what Joni DeRoshi and I decided to be the definitive 4 stages of stardom. The definitive 4 stages of stardom, as clarified by me, Rick Emerson, and Joni DeRoshi, are fame, you are famous, you know, world famous, then you are hated, then you are kitschy, then you come back and are acknowledged to be fantastic.
Don't forget you get some disease and you publicly flaunt it.
Who are you thinking of?
Well, there are several people who do.
I'm thinking of, like, the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees went through this, where they were world famous, then they were despised, then they were back in sort of a kitschy fashion, like, hey, I'm listening to Saturday Night Fever.
Then some were dead.
And now everybody just acknowledges that the Bee Gees are great. And so that's the thing. So Barry Manilow, same thing with Neil Diamond. Popular, hated, kitschy, popular again, in the, you know, enshrined in the Hall of Fame. See also Village People. So the same thing with Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow was really popular. There was a time in this country when Barry Manilow had number one singles on the top 40 chart. You can't even fathom that now. Then he was hated. Then he was sort of jokey during the 90s when I was seeing him. And now he's entering stage four, where he is acknowledged as a very important figure in the history of music. So the upshot, though, is this concert that's coming up has been impossible to get tickets for. I have had people, and I don't mean like old people and like whatever. I'm not talking about the typical Barry Manilow crowd. I've had like chicks who work here. Like 20-something girls come over, like, can you, you know, you're a Barry Manilow fan. Can you get me, like, I got the line in with Barry Manilow or something. Can you get me the Barry Manilow hookup? And the answer is no, I cannot. I can't even get me the Barry Manilow hookup. It's sold out, and we're not promoting the show, so sadly, I'm not able to get tickets. I don't even know why we're talking about this.
Speaking of Vegas stuff, Celine Dion's Las Vegas concert extravaganza at Caesars will close forever December 15th. Yes. She has signed a 3-year, $100 million contract, which is insane. Nearly 2.5 million people have seen this show since it opened at the Coliseum.
How much should they pay her?
$100 million.
I couldn't even...
For 3 years.
How can... 30 mil... That's $1 million... No, that's not. That's... Wait.
To shake her hands in the air like somebody with arthritis.
That is 30 divided by... That's
how
a
much
million,
is that per minute?
That's a
per
million,
word.
That's $1 million a month. I know that. That's $1 million almost. Mm. Little, you know, round it up. That's like $850K a month. To sing, I couldn't. Let me just tell you this.
But she has to perform every day, every night, no vacation, right?
No. She takes big breaks.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, I thought that they had to just do it straight for 3 years.
No, there's no way. No way. No, she's not. That you have to do that if you're like Danny Gans or something. You have to perform every night. But like Siegfried and Roy, man, those guys, I mean.
Well, not anymore.
Lots of time off now. Yeah. I'm running to back in the day when they were, it was, you know, they perform. I mean, they do a couple, they're like, like when I saw Carlin in Vegas, George Carlin. I mean, he was doing like 2-3 shows a day, but that was 3 days a week, 2 weeks a month, 2 months a year. So, I mean, it's not like the old days where they just do, you know, just have to pound it every day. That is $850,000 a month, even if you had to perform every day. I mean, you're trying to paint it like she's, well, yeah, but it's a lot of work. Think of the taxes. There's just, I can't fathom, I mean, the only two Celine Dion songs I know are the Titanic song and the Meatloaf song. That's it. I couldn't sing another Celine Dion song if you put a gun to my head.
No.
I've no idea. And I'm like you, I get the Ticketmaster spam about it. You know, pay now for the chance to see, and not even the chance to see, pay now for the chance to bid on Celine Dion tickets. Thank you, no. Let's see here. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Good afternoon. I was going to comment on the scene with Nancy Pelosi and all those children.
Yeah, no, it looked like she was getting ready to make him into a coat.
However, you see, this is an odd, maybe this is an odd way of looking at it, but I'm not sure anything happens by accident in Washington, D.C. But at any rate, those children are the ones who are going to be paying the cost of the Iraq War.
No, it's true.
And their children, too.
She should have had a little placard to, you know, to hang around their neck, like, my share, $335,000.
Yeah. One more thing. Yesterday when you were talking about puddles on the floor,
yes,
that soon to be forgotten this conversation, women don't understand a phenomenon called splashback.
Let's leave it that way.
Okay, good enough.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean horrible. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Donald Trump, he has to say something every day now. Now he doesn't blame Barbara Walters for coming out and trying to save face after all. He still has, after all, he says Walters still has to work with Rosie.
I have great respect for Barbara. She's been a friend of mine for a long time. At the same time, she has to do business with this animal. You know, she has to live with her. So, you know, what's she going to say? Yes, I said all those things. Now, Barbara never said, please don't say it, because if she would have said, please don't say or relate our conversation, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, I swear to God. Somebody needs... let me rephrase. Let me stop and withdraw. And I'll rephrase, Your Honor. Let me put it this way. It really seems like he's asking for a beatdown right about now. It seems
that's what everybody's hoping for.
I mean, again, I was...
Snap him like a twig.
I was, yeah. I really,
on
I was...
National television.
I'm not going to say that someone should do that. That would be wrong. What I am saying...
That's what America's hoping for.
That now, that's true, though. As a journalist, you can say that, and as a pundit, I will agree. I will opine. Really, it does seem like Donald Trump is just begging to be beaten severely and repeatedly and with malice and with gusto and vigor in a gutter until his teeth are loosened and his hair removed.
Well, because it's now just him talking, right? Because Rosie O'Donnell isn't saying anything.
Rosie O'Donnell, well, no, because this is part of the as Charlie Sheen would say, this is part of the Sun Tzu Art of War thing, that when your enemy is destroying himself, do nothing. When someone is drowning, you just toss him an anchor. And that's what it is, because he's just... he's just out there. Again, I didn't think it was possible to get me on the same side as Rosie O'Donnell again, because she's just such a repellent, unlikable woman. I will agree with him on that. But really, comparatively speaking, again, it's like if you're fat, you stand next to fatter people. If you're jerky, you stand next to Donald Trump, because he's just coming off as such an ass and just such a complete a-hole in all of this. Because you're right, when is the last time we even heard from Rosie O'Donnell on this? And I don't think she's been muzzled either. I think she's just figured out that it's better to keep her trap shut about it. Did you see him on Meredith Vieira the other day?
Yes.
With the View? And at Meredith Vieira. So let's talk about Rosie. I don't want to talk about Rosie! And then he unleashed like this 5-minute thing about Rosie. And he was just going on and on and on about it. And I would also say this. Now, I don't know, but it seems to me that he's got to suck up to Barbara Walters, because... I would guess, in a real politics sense, as the Russians would say, that Barbara Walters is way more powerful than Donald Trump is. Donald Trump has money, and he's quick to point out that he has a lot of that. But Barbara Walters is Barbara Walters is powerful herself, and has got a lot of powerful friends and a lot of powerful people in the media that are beholden to her, owe their careers to her, or that just admire her. And you want to screw with her. You make an enemy of Barbara Walters, your life is going to turn ugly very fast. I would almost guarantee that. So
let's let him keep talking then.
All right, this is
number four.
Barbara's a friend of mine. She called me and she said very nasty things about Rosie. It's okay. Then she went on and she said, I love Rosie, blah, blah, blah. She has to say that. Somebody said, but are you insulted? I said, of course not. What's she going to say? I said terrible things about Rosie and then they have to work together? That thing will implode anyway.
He says he's spoken with people who work with Rosie, and she is a horrible person as well.
By the way, she's been a bully for years. She's a terrible human being. In fact, I must tell you, a man that works for you backstage says, don't let up on Rosie, Mr. Trump. I worked for her. She's the worst human being I've ever worked for. She's horrible. Don't let up, sir. I said, don't worry about it.
She's worse than the Holocaust.
What's amazing is that he's sitting there bullying while saying she's a bully, she's a bully.
That's the thing. Really, there is... someone in this room is just screaming for a savage beating. I mean, I'm telling you, that would be like a 40 share right now. You could, I don't advocate that. Violence, of course, is wrong. I'm just saying that if somehow that were to happen, that Donald Trump were to be savagely and mercilessly beaten on television, and then it were to be screened on some sort of national broadcast, you're talking huge ratings right there. That's like a 40-50 share easily. All right, fantastic. Let's see, we've got Rob. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, about that Celine Dion, did you say $100 million for 3 years?
Yes, Tim? Yes, yeah.
Okay, that breaks down to $91,324.20 a day.
How much per word?
So didn't we figure out that it was like that George Michael thing, that George Michael concert where he was getting $31,000 a minute? This is not quite that, but still, Jesus, God Almighty.
That is insane. I can't believe I'd pay that much not to have to listen to her, I guess, if I had the money.
For Celine Dion, who, as we've noted in the past, I don't really know anybody that's a big Celine Dion fan.
Well, there must be a pile of idiots somewhere in the country.
Probably. That I would absolutely guarantee you.
It's really weird how many things are popular, yet nobody knows anybody that likes them. Like, everybody, you know, tolerates Raymond. I can't believe that guy made that much money for that long. My parents don't even watch that show.
I would totally put Jennifer Lopez in that same category. That, no, I mean, it's died down now, but when she was really huge, Jolie at the front desk was the only person we knew that even liked her. I don't know anybody who owns anything by her.
How can you justify that much money? That's just crazy.
Yeah, no,
capitalism.
And her husband is a little weird, too. Celine Dion's husband, he's some weird...
Oh, he's the really old manager guy.
Yeah, he's like a crazy Svengali, a Star is Born kind
of
guy.
Oh, he ain't letting go of that. That's a golden goose right there. You don't let that go.
It's true. Hey, do you believe that Donald Trump deserves a beating?
Oh, yeah, he's deserved a beating for years. It's just finally, you know, they gave him enough rope to hang himself.
Excellent. Good times. There you go. Thank you, sir. There's our good friend Rob at the House of Rick. Cecil, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, I was kind of surprised you'd got your four phases of fame down to one letter or one word category for the first three. That fourth one I'm thinking is iconic.
Iconic, yes, I would say that. So popular, hated, kitschy, iconic.
Just trying to help.
No, thank you. No, that's exactly the word I'm looking for. Those are the four phases of fame that all superstars go through. Not all celebrities, but all superstars go through the four phases of fame. And again, Barry Manilow right now is coming out of phase three, going into phase four. So thank you, sir. That, no, you've
You're
crystallized
welcome.
It. All right, there you go. That's Cecil. Here's Tim Riley.
A woman is suing Oprah Winfrey after she allegedly was injured in a rush for seats during the taping of yesterday's talk show. Tanya Miller says she was pushed downstairs between a waiting area and the audience seated at Harpo Studios. Her lawsuit accuses the studio in Chicago's West Loop neighborhood of failing to properly control the crowd, which caused her to fall and suffer unspecified injuries. She wants $50,000 in damages. Oh, listen to this. This happened in Salem. As a funeral was going on at Salem's First Methodist Church, several people attending the services chased and caught a man stealing purses. The Marion County Sheriff's Office responded to the theft at the church in Silverton Road, Northeast. Deputies say several adults were detaining 35-year-old Jason Rutherford outside the church when they arrived. Rutherford accused of going into the church and taking purses and other items from a secured office area. When confronted inside the church, he forced his way outside. He's being held in Marion County Jail for burglary.
I'm surprised that more robberies don't happen in churches. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying that it's like, I said this
before. There aren't enough people in church anymore to rob, really.
I'm surprised that there are, like, movie theaters. You'd think there'd be more robberies at movie theaters. Didn't it seem like a logical, like, if I was a robber, if I was an armed, maybe I should discontinue this line of musing, but I'm simply saying, if I were an armed robber, movie theaters, they're soundproof, first of all. You little armed robber, you do it during an action film, everybody in the lobby thinks it's part of the show. Two guys cover all the exits. You shouldn't do that, though. That would be wrong.
Now you get everybody thinking.
I'm simply observing. I'm making the point that I'm like the Donald Trump thing. I'm not saying he should be beaten. I'm just saying I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Like that Fred Phelps guy. I'm surprised that somebody hasn't gone to one of those Fred Phelps rallies. Some guy with, you know, maybe a tumor, nothing to live for. He's going to be dead in 6 months anyway. Got a large vehicle. Really doesn't mind doing a little time. Just does what has to be done. I'm not saying it should happen. I am merely surprised that these things have not happened. A little taken out of the trash. Here's Tim Riley.
All right, well, it turns out... Actually, this comes to us from Texas. A Texas story. It turned into a mud-slinging fight between a pig farmer and a Muslim in Texas. Muslim Camel Fotar.
Muslim what?
His name is Camel Fotar.
Okay.
Bought 11 acres next to Craig Baker's pig farm in Katy, Texas, intending to build a mosque next door.
Is this the beginning of a bad sitcom?
It is.
He's a Muslim and he's a pig farmer. Mm-hmm.
Being a Muslim, Fotar has serious issues with pigs and went to the town council to complain. Baker, whose family has owned the pig farm for 200 years, says Fotar knew he had a pig farm and decided to fight back when he called Baker a liar in front of the whole town.
I don't understand. What is the... Okay, is this pig... I swear to God, this cut is called Pig versus Muslim.
Yeah, Pig versus Muslim, what?
That was the last straw for me. So calling me a liar, especially in front of 300 or 400
he sounds
people
like
there
the Muslim.
At the meeting.
No, that's the pig farmer from Texas.
Yeah.
Well, knowing the Muslims' dislike of pigs, Baker has been holding pig races every Friday, the holiest day of the Muslim culture. Some 100 Katy residents showed up to support the races as they didn't want a mosque in the middle of their farmland. They say a big white building in the center of farms will lower property values.
Fotha, the president of the Katy Islamic Association, says he has never asked Baker to move and that the pig races don't bother him. Katy has 500 members, and they do not want to go to other towns to worship. So here he is again. He said he never asked Baker to leave.
It's very un-American. How could I give myself the right, or any one of us, to go to a neighbor and tell him, get out of here. This is no place for you anymore.
Oh, we do it all the time. It's the American way. I don't understand. It's called having a homeowners association. I don't understand.
Not in Texas.
Why, if you're a Muslim...
What are you doing in Texas?
Well, a, yes. B, yes, well spotted, Tim. What are you doing in Texas? And B, why would you buy... Really... Now, again, I'm not disparaging or impugning anybody's right to do whatever they want. Whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Build it, you know, build whatever you want, wherever you want. I don't care. It just seems like if you're Muslim, a pig farm might not be where you want to buy something. It does really sound like some sort of a... It does sound like some sort of FX kind of sitcom. It would be called... Let's see. One's a pig farmer and one's a devout Muslim. Together, it's a recipe for kooky clerical comedy. Don't miss the season premiere of... And then it would be called what? Something swine? No. Something mosque? Nah, I got nothing.
You must go.
No, but you're close. You're getting close to it. Well, we'll think about it over the break. We'll come back with something. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You know why I'm glad for all of these horrific stories? Because it's distracting me from the issue of my Forerunner. I'd like to thank you all for that.
Do our best.
That's what this program does.
Until the next vehicle is stolen.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, why? Some. Never mind. It's 503-733-2970. Back out to this. The Rick Emerson Show.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed.
Rick Emerson, the radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I found out last week I could listen to headphones while working at my new job. What did I do? I went on and bought a little radio, just so I could listen to the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you, sir. Now imagine how my coworkers look at me when I suddenly burst into laughter several times during the day for no apparent reason. Today I got asked if I was high on drugs because I have a constant smirk on my face. Right now, I'm trying to figure out how to scrub the image of jellied meat hands and people dumplings out of my head. To top it all off, I almost killed a bum on the way home. What? Oh, when Tim read Sarah's creepy letter, I was laughing so hard I started to upchuck. And then I almost ran into a homeless man on I-84 on an off-ramp. I'm starting to think that your show is worse for me than a vat of pure trans fat. Best show ever. F. Matt, all hail the beautiful Sarah. Tim Riley's my God, etc., etc. Daryl, there you go. I just sort of got stuck on the I almost killed a bum on the way home. like there were no Girl Scouts available.
He wanted
available.
To kill him for you.
Thank you. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon, Tim Riley, etc. We've got the... Are these people calling about the, he's a pig farmer, he's a Muslim cleric. Together it's a recipe for kooky comedy. Let's see, this is, Kathy. Kathy.
Yeah.
Hi.
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 Who's this?
This is Tom. This is Rick.
Huh? Oh, Rick. Whoever it is, hi.
Hi.
Do you like the idea of the musk and the musk?
The musk. Oh, like a pig? Do pigs have musk?
Yeah.
You need to turn your
farmer.
You need to turn your radio up.
It's okay. It's off.
That was a failed joke.
The musk and the musk. Fantastic. Yeah. Genius.
I thought it was a good start. I'm sure you can work with it.
No, it's fantastic.
Good.
Thank you for listening, Kathy.
Okay. It's my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Okay. There you go. I was trying to take that a whole other way, and then it didn't really work. Okay. God almighty, what the hell was
somebody
that?
Working in a warehouse.
It's like I answered a phone call from hell. Rick, there's a wearing blender on the phone. We'll get back. Would you talk to Scotty? Talk to it's Will. Willie? Yeah, would you talk to him and see if we can get his phone a better, a little loud there. Let's see. This is Malcolm. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Malcolm.
Yeah, hey, Rick. Long time.
Thank you, sir.
I was wondering on this Muslim deal if he was a Sui Muslim. Big Sui.
I don't understand. Oh, you mean like Sunni?
Yeah, Sunni, Sui, here, biggie, biggie.
The Rick Emerson Show just... Where's that culturally sensitive handbook that we were going through the other day? We were... Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Okay, that's Malcolm. God bless you, Malcolm. There you go. That is Malcolm right there. Perhaps this was an ill-advised series of phone calls to begin taking. We had a news story. Do you have the story?
About what?
The pig farmer story, or have you thrown that away already?
I've thrown it away.
Well, it doesn't matter. We had a story about a, I swear to God, a Muslim minister who moved next door to a pig farm. Where was it in Texas? What city was it in? Does it say?
Katy,
Texas. And so I, it seemed to me that that... See, here we go. Here's an email. It seemed to me that that is the makings of a sitcom right there. Rick, how about Swine and the Divine? He grows them. He can't eat them. Every Thursday night at CBS. Or how about this? The Fatwa and the Farmer. See, that's good. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's fantastic. Let's see. No, it's still unlistenable. Thanks. We'll get back to... We'll go back to that phone every now and again. We'll go back to line four every, 30 or 40 seconds. Let's see here. We've got Ted. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I got a deal for the pig farmer and the Muslim.
Yes.
I got a better concept, though. I think it's a movie. It's a romantic comedy. John Cusack, Arnold Ziffel, Mosque Love Hogs.
Mosque Love Hogs. Okay, that's fantastic. No, that is. See, that's legitimately funny. Way to go, Ted. That's the... And Tim Musk, love, hogs.
My pleasure, man.
Thank you, sir. You call anytime. All right, there you go. That's comedy right there. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, when Governor Schwarzenegger shows up to take his oath of office today, he's going to be on crutches because he got in a skiing accident. First, Lady Maria Shriver stood in for her husband at the Leading the Green Dream event that targets energy conservation and clean living technology.
Making California a leader when it comes to the environment, believing that we can do better and we can lead not only the United States, but the entire world.
My voice worms its way into your brain like some sort of an unholy verbal corkscrew.
Is that really Maria Shriver?
Yeah, she sounds like Nancy Pelosi.
God, how could you live with that?
Making California a leader when it comes to the environment.
God, he was probably trying to kill himself. How on earth could you live with that voice?
She's a Kennedy.
Yeah.
That's how you live with that.
Sorry. Meow. I didn't stop to think what I was saying. There's like that great exchange between there's a famous exchange between what's her name? Is it Patricia Lawford? Was that her name?
Yes.
Peter Lawford's wife, and there's some great exchange between Frank Sinatra and Patricia Lawford about how she says, you know, I'm turning Peter into something better. A Kennedy, of course. So yeah. All right. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, that massive flaming debris seen over Denver yesterday morning was the remnant of a Russian rocket. Here's eyewitness Toby Winsett. He said it was quite a sight.
It was very colorful. Had reds in it and oranges and yellows, and I saw some green.
Let's list all the colors.
As the parts broke off, they seemed to slow down from the main part that kept going, and I watched it all the way to the southern horizon.
That's a fascinating soundbite. Let's play that 100 times in a row. He lists some colors and then says he saw some crap fall on the ground.
Motorist Shauna Ships says when she saw the space junk, it was difficult to keep her eyes on the road.
It's hard to keep driving, but I had to, and I'm trying not to veer off of the road or anything.
Okay.
Too bad Clyde Lewis isn't here. Speaking of that, first I picked up the newspaper, and I thought that this was Clyde Lewis, but on second... Clyde that's Lewis a, in 10 years?
That's a woman, first of all. That's a... Okay. This is unfair. We're not being fair with the audience. You have to tell people what you're looking at and on what page of the paper.
Oh, my God.
Sarah, do you have your phone? Can you post that on your website?
Page 15.
I had to put up with the goddamn Blossom jokes for like 5 years.
I mean, I say it with love. I mean,
it's really more of a knock on the woman than it is on Clyde.
But from a distance.
Maybe she's from a distance.
This wrinkly woman looks a lot like Clyde from a distance.
What? Sarah's taking a photograph of this right now, so you'll be able to,
it's not really very good.
Really?
Need what? More lights?
Is this today? This is the A&E?
Yes.
What page is this on? I encourage everyone now to go pick up today's A&E. Turn to page 15. Look at the so-called woman on the right. Who is it?
Her name is Nancy King.
Who is that? Who is she? And why is she?
I have no idea. Apparently, she's singing at an old church.
Okay.
This weekend.
So I encourage everybody to look at the A&E today. Look at page 15 and look at Nancy King, who's the woman on the right, and just think Clyde Lewis. Lately, there's a lot of people who look like Clyde Lewis who aren't Clyde Lewis.
It looks like Clyde Lewis.
From a distance, she's hairy and she talks a lot about Burger Cake. From a distance, if you, it's like with The Wire. If you watch The Wire, there's the character of Bunk, who is a homicide detective. We were talking about this the other day. He was a big black man. Swear to God, though, he's like Clyde's doppel. So Clyde has a black doppel.
Clyde has a female doppel. It's kind of cool and creepy when you think about it.
But he has that look.
Oh, that's no good. Oh, poor Nancy King. How bad I feel for you. Good. It really, and it's not just Clyde. It's sort of Clyde as he will look in about 15 or 20 years.
Right.
Fantastic.
All right, let's try this again. Willie.
Lars Larson's. When I got on a train at Lift Bus, and the driver was listening to Lars Larson, and he was talking about men's bathroom urination habits. You should change the intro to everybody besides this show who's on the air. This is your prep, you know, your daily show prep.
Are you kidding? When was it? Was this today?
This was like, since I've been on hold, like 30 seconds before I called the show, I heard Lars Larson talking about that.
So
I was like, oh my God, I've got to call Rick Emerson. I can't believe that.
So Lars was talking about men's bathroom habits as regards urine and so forth.
Yes.
That
it had to be at the State House.
Really? That is unbelievable. I mean, even we're just sort of immune to it, I think, at this point. We don't really... I think it actually takes a lot to surprise us, because I think, and I don't want to be like some typical radio host claiming that I invent everything, everybody steals me, because that's not true. But
for the most part, it is.
Well, yeah, but it is true. It's not paranoia when it actually happens, but it really is hard to believe. That really is off the charts unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a DC cab reference.
Seriously. Okay, well, I'm going to have to get a copy of that then. If somebody out there has a copy of Lars's program today, where he was apparently talking about men's bathroom habits in manner of, oh, I don't know, the Rick Emerson show.
That's a little bit risque for him.
Somebody is pushing the envelope. Mm. He's a risk taker. All right, Willie, God bless you, sir. Are you spreading the word about this program?
Every day, brother.
All right, let the bus driver know that he can hear that content in its original form on this station.
Take care.
All right, thank you. There you go, that's Willie. All right, that was worth the wait. Thank you, that's Willie.
I put the picture up.
Okay, you can. We'll get back to Matthew. I got to double check this. Let's see. Where is your blog? Let's see. Rick Emerson. I'm just going to go there via my. All right, we're going to Sarah X. Dillon's webpage right here.
Now, seriously, does it?
You just look at that woman and you just picture a whole sort of.
I'm going to be having a seance. Tonight, or we're going to attempt to contact the demon Thoth.
That's really, really great. You look at SarahXDillon.com. There's a photograph. This is Tim Riley's observation, by the way. I'm merely opining on an observation first made by the news desk here at AF 970. Oh, that really
well,
is...
Well, that's just an observation on my part.
No, it's true, though. Well, everybody looks like somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there you go. For me, it's me and B. Alec. For Clyde, it's whoever this aged, wrinkly woman is. Good times. It's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And that's just another reason for the management to ponder if we're worth what we're paid. Well, this comes us from Florida. A Daytona Beach man suffering serious injuries after falling into a manhole this morning. It happened at 2 o'clock in the morning when a 26-year-old man was walking around. He didn't notice the manhole cover was missing and fell about 8 feet. Unable to escape, he called 911 using his cell phone. I'm in a sewer, he told the dispatcher. He told the operator he could hear cars above and could see the moon.
I don't understand.
He was, where was this?
I'm in a sewer.
He tells dispatch, he said he could hear cars above and could see the moon.
All right.
He was stuck in a hole for 2 hours before rescue workers could get him.
Was this here?
No, this is in Florida.
Oh, damn you. I hate you.
And they still can't find the manhole cover. But they did find the manhole and took a picture of it.
Thank you. I'm just distracted by the word manhole and how hilarious it is. Do you remember when we had that chick from the American Library Association on? Sarah, no. Were you on the show at that point? We had this hot woman from the American Library, and she was hot, from the American Library Association on the program. It was back at the KOTK, back when we were working at Fisher. And we had her on, and the top five was top five words that sound profane but aren't. And I don't think she looked like Jeanine Turner from Northern Exposure. I don't think she knew. No, not Jeanine Turner. Who's the, is Jeanine Turner the woman who played the receptionist on Ghostbusters?
What, you mean the character's name?
Who is Jeanine Turner from Northern Exposure? That's the actress, right?
Well, I know the name of the character in Ghostbusters is Jeanine.
Maybe that's why I'm making it. Maybe that's why I'm becoming all confused here. Yeah, I read a lot myself. I'm very psychic, Egon.
Like, what was the sample word?
Well, anyway, so we had this hot chick from the American Library Association on, and we had her do the top five words that sound a dirty word, and manhole was number two. And I just remember that she was really put out by
you know
the
what thing. Word bothers me? Masticate.
Masticate. And there was another story. You know what? What was something I just heard the other day? Because I know you don't like the word moist.
Yeah.
I don't like the word moist. What was the other one we had? Moist.
Dressing.
Dressing, but only as it relates to open wounds.
Only as, like, bandaging.
There's a whole lot of, like, I need a new dressing.
I had to change the dressing.
Roquefort, please.
Ew.
Matthew, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick.
Matthew. Hey.
Love your show.
Thank
hey,
you.
I got a name for your Muslim show.
Okay.
It's Allah About Pork.
It's what?
It's Allah About Pork.
All About Pork. That really, that's... See, the thing is, people laugh at this and they think that we're being insensitive or crude in some way, but I'm going to tell you right now, within 5 years, you will see this sitcom on television somewhere. We will once ahead be ahead of the curve. I'll give you credit for that, too. All About Pork.
Thank you. And by the way, wasn't it Annie Potts who was in Ghostbusters Receptionist?
That's not Annie Potts, really?
Yeah, it was. Pretty sure it was.
I'm picturing it in my head. It might be her. All right, well done. Thank you, man.
I'll listen. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, she was hot. I was a big fan of hers. What was my point? Oh, yeah, but the chick from the American Library Association, who I believe was not my biggest fan that day. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, did you know the son of psycho actor Anthony Perkins is a singer named Elvis Perkins? And he's going to be playing here soon.
And he's like 150 years old himself.
Is he?
I'm amazed that Anthony Perkins had a son.
I know.
I mean, you sure he didn't...
He was a busy fellow in the acting world.
You sure that he didn't just rent that kid from somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Could have happened back then.
All right.
Meanwhile, let's talk about Creed's Scott Stapp.
Can we, please?
He's welcoming a new addition to his family with arms wide open. The former singer for Creed and his wife, Jacqueline, who has a name I couldn't possibly pronounce.
It's Jacqueline.
Her last name, though.
Oh.
She kept her maiden name, which she shouldn't have. They recently announced the birth of their daughter, Milan Hyatt Stapp.
Are you looking me in the eye again?
Milan means to have creativity of God and was chosen from Stapp's Cherokee roots.
Are those shoes?
Hayat is from a Jordanian background, and it means to give life. This is more confusing as I go on here.
I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm just reading this as it was written.
I don't even know who's in
the
story.
He's an Indian.
Who?
Scott Stapp.
Scott Stapp is not an Indian.
Well, he claims he's an Indian. No. And his wife is Jordanian.
You can't just go around claiming you're an Indian if you're not. Scott Stapp is not an Indian.
He's trying to get some attention, apparently.
All right, and who's his wife?
His wife is Milan Hyatt Stapp.
All right, and she is somebody of note, isn't she? Isn't she?
She's a Jordanian. Oh, She is the 2004 winner of the Miss New York USA pageant.
Oh, okay. Well, that's less impressive than it originally sounded.
She has a son named Jagger from her previous relationship.
Have you seen the photograph that accompanies this story of Scott Stapp? I know you can't see this.
It looks like a mugshot.
It does look like a mugshot.
It is a mugshot.
Is it?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's bare-chested and greasy.
Drunk driving or something.
Yeah, his hair's all greasy, and his chest looks all hairy and oiled up. Mm. Yeah, it's a bad... It's a bad...
Well, he's an Indian.
He's not an Indian.
At least he claims to be.
Surrounded by Indians.
Well, although we're not quite sure what she was thinking when she married Kid Rock in the first place, Pamela Anderson now admits she's had enough of his childish behavior and wishes she had sent him packing long ago. Pam Bam has attacked her soon-to-be ex-husband, Kid Rock, over his childish threats. The former Baywatch star was reportedly fuming when she learned that the wild rocker had attempted to beat up her ex-husband Tommy Lee on New Year's Eve.
I heard about that.
Over rumors that the Motley Crue drummer had hooked up with her again.
Fantastic.
The actress wrote on her website, quote, "A rock star scorned. It's been a rough month. Completely childish threats. I'm so disappointed. That's why my friend Chuck Zito has been with me, my friend of 15 years. He's great security. He's like family," unquote.
I read some interview with Pam Anderson where she was swearing off rock stars or something, and which is ironic though, because apparently the whole reason for the Kid Rock rage is because I don't know whether it's true that she got together with Tommy Lee though.
Oh, you know it's true.
You know it's true because you know that guy, and I don't think it's just because of his business. And by business, I mean penis. He has some strange hold over women. He has a bizarre. He's not unlike John Malkovich, and I never thought I would say that about Tommy Lee, but he has a weird charisma to him. I don't know really what it is. He's got a strange magnetism, which Kid Rock does not. And look, I love Kid Rock. I really do. And people can think that's trashy or stupid or whatever. I really do like Kid Rock, musically speaking, but you talk about a guy that has really no discernible charm or charisma to him in any way. Kid Rock really just seems like a guy who's going to end up fat, bald, and sleeping on your couch.
You remember I met him, right?
No. Yeah. You never told me that.
I did. We've talked
was
about
he
it on
Starbucks?
The
Starbucks?
No, I met him at, they used to have this thing in Bremerton called End Fest for 107.7 The End. And I had some friends who were working at the hotel that the after party was at.
I only vaguely remember this.
Yeah, and I met him.
Tell us again.
And the little...
For the first time.
And then his midget friend, the guy who dies.
Oh, I thought you meant his... Oh,
no, I didn't meet his midget friend.
Yo, you want to meet my midget friend?
And the most enormous bouncer I've ever met. He wasn't attractive.
Oh, a bouncer.
What are you doing? Do you want me to tell this?
Do you want to meet my midget friend and my two enormous bouncers? Okay, that's funny. Really, there can be no dispute about that.
I don't think she's told this story before.
Okay.
I would have remembered it.
I'm sorry.
No, that was it.
And so he was a jerk.
Yeah, I met him very lackluster. That's it.
All right. Okay.
Here's the next promo. Scotty J.
I would like to note again for the record that this week CBS is creating a composite tape of this show to send out to prospective clients and advertisers. We're doing our part to make this program appeal to all demographics and audiences. Bouncers. All right. We should probably take a break. Yeah. It's the Rick Emerson Radio
Program.
Well, we're
turning after these messages.
We'll come back. We have Jim Roop coming up around the corner. Oh, Tim Riley back from the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. No.